Great. So, Lou's already said that over the past few weeks, we've been reminding ourselves of our core values, the five core values that we have here at Portsford Church, the five things that really matter to us as a church, the things that we want to reflect who we are as a community, the five things that we would say are most important to us, the things that we would like to shape us and shape what we do together. And these five core values, they're not instructions. It's not like a cut-down version of the Ten Commandments. They're not meant to be things that we have to do, but they are helpful, hopefully, and important. And if we're really honest, they're not necessarily the things that we're thinking about all the time. I have to admit that a few weeks ago, I would have struggled to list the five core values of Portsford Church. But now I know them. And I think these core values that we agree on are really helpful. They are helpful, and from time to time we remind ourselves what our core values are to see if they do reflect our church and what we're doing, and if we still agree on these things, and if these are the things that are still the most important to us, if they really express what is at the heart of our life together. So that's why we're doing this series. And as we know today, we've arrived at core value number four. They're not in any particular order, but this is it. We value learning together from the Bible. Or to put it another way, it's important to us that what we learn and live and share comes from the Bible. And the passages that Lou read from Psalm 29 and then the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, just helpful. It's sometimes good to read the Bible or read something from the Bible. And for most of us here, this is something that we do regularly. It's our regular practice. It's something that we find helpful. And it feels familiar to us. And when we read the Bible, the words have a familiar feel. And we probably feel comfortable reading from the Bible, but that's not true for everyone. And to be honest, there are some things that we read in the Bible that make us feel uncomfortable, whoever we are. But there are plenty of people, you know this, who have never read the Bible at all. Plenty of people who know very, very little of what's contained in the Bible. And for lots of people, the Bible is unknown. It's an unfamiliar book. And probably more than that, it's a book that they're probably not particularly interested in reading or looking at. So even if the Bible is a book that just about everyone has heard of, a book that we all associate with church, with Christianity, it's not one that most people, the vast majority of people in this country, have actually read or would even want to think about, perhaps. And that was true for me. When I arrived as a student in Southampton, I'd never looked at the Bible. I'd never tried to read any of it, except perhaps once or twice at school in RE lessons. And in fact, at that point in my life, growing up and all through my teenage years, I hardly read any books at all, except the ones that I had to read for school. I wasn't interested in reading. I chose to do maths, so that meant no essay writing, no books to read, no visits to the library. It was a good choice for me at the time. Gave me the opportunity to do other things I wanted to do. But if I'm honest, it probably meant that I was missing out on some things, as I've since discovered. But the Bible, we know, is a difficult book to read. It's hard to understand. It was written a long time ago. And for lots of people, it's not very interesting, perhaps. Not very relevant. That was certainly the impression that I had as a 20-year-old before I started asking questions about life and faith and God and Jesus. And if it hadn't been for some friends I met in my first few weeks here as a student, perhaps I wouldn't have discovered the Bible at all. or have the opportunity to find out for myself what it says and start reading it. All these years later, here I am, and it's easy to take for granted that this core value about learning together from the Bible, you know, we take it as read. But it's really important. I can easily forget how unfamiliar the Bible was to me at the start, and how, you know, as a student with good A levels and reasonable general knowledge, I struggled to know where even to begin with the Bible. It was that unfamiliar to me. So I wanted us to read the end of the book of Ecclesiastes this morning, partly as a reminder, because many of us will remember, as Lou's reminded us, we worked our way through the whole book of Ecclesiastes on Sunday mornings. But I also wanted to read it because there's one bit that's always struck me as interesting and something that I found very true in my experience. So if you want to turn back to page 679, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 12. And it's the second half of verse 12 that I want us to look at. And this is what it says. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study wearies the body. So most of us, probably all of us, have had to study at some point in our lives. We've all experienced what it says here. We can identify, all of us, with this statement that much study wearies the body. No one really likes exams, I don't think. Anyone like exams? Or having to work, to learn things, to pass a test, driving test, whatever it might be. Late nights, early mornings, weeks of revision, essay writing, even though I didn't have to write essays. It's true that much study wearies the body. But it's also inescapable. If we want to learn things, it takes effort. Education isn't easy. But we all need to learn. We're meant to grow as people. We're meant to expand our knowledge, expand our understanding of the world around us, develop new skills, new abilities. That's part of growing up. That's part of becoming mature in our thinking and in our behavior and the way that we live. But of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. So what does that mean? Probably what it means is that there's always more to learn. And that's true, isn't it? We probably all agree with that. There's always more to learn. We've never really done with learning, whatever our age. We're still in the process of developing, of acquiring new information, of improving our abilities, even in old age. There are new things to learn. The world moves on. And just trying to keep up with new technology, progress, the latest ideas, it just doesn't stop. We continue to learn. And of making many books, there is no end. And much study wearies the body. Every week of every year, new books are being written and published. I had my birthday last week. My daughter bought me a book. It looks very interesting. Looking forward to reading it. But does anyone know why the Bible is called the Bible? Or what the word Bible means? Does anyone know? Feel free to shout out if you do. There's a few at the same time. I heard the word library, and someone else said something? Word of God. Thanks, Mr. Fair. The word Bible literally means the books, or a collection of books. It's interesting, isn't it? So it's a Greek word. It comes from a Greek word, the word biblia, which is a plural word. And it translates as the books. And there's another Greek word for just one book, which is biblion, and that literally means a scroll or a small book. But Bible means books. And when we were living in France, and I was learning French, and I discovered that a bookshop is called a librairie, which is confusing because librairie sounds like library, but it's not. And does anyone know what the French word for library really is? Bibliothèque. You see, bibliothèque, Bible, it's kind of related. So a bibliothèque makes sense. A library is basically a collection of books, isn't it? So the Bible is both a book and a collection of books. And I'm sure you will know this one. Does anyone know how many books there are in this collection that we call the Bible? How many books in the Bible? 66, absolutely right. Yes, 66 books in all. 39 in the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Scriptures, all written before Jesus was born. 27 in the New Testament, the Greek Scriptures, all written after Jesus was born. But if someone was to ask us, what's in the Bible? What would we say? What's in the Bible? Have a little think. Promises. God's promises. Excellent. Thank you, Les. What else do we find in the Bible? Grace. Absolutely. We find grace in the Bible. Prophecy. Promises, prophecy, grace. I'm liking this. What else do we find in the Bible? Story. Yeah, lots of story. I like that. His, God's story, but his story, history. Plenty of historical books and history. Stuff about God's character. Luke. Yes, Luke. Luke wrote two of the 66 books. He wrote the Gospel and the Book of Acts. What else is in the Bible? His words, yes. So this is keeping it really simple, is it? What's in the Bible? There are books in the Bible. What's in the Bible? There are words in the Bible. And as it says here at the end of Ecclesiastes, it talks about words of wisdom. There's wisdom in the Bible. Anything else that we want to throw in? So, truth. Truth. And we'll come back to that in just a minute. Truth to be found in the Bible. There are prayers in the Bible, as well as promises and prophecy. What else? There's loads of stuff in the Bible. Praise, yeah. Excellent. I love it. We could go on for a while. I think I should move on. So yeah, in this last section that we've read from the book of Ecclesiastes, it mentions wisdom, it mentions Proverbs as well. And it's really interesting. I will just reread it. It says, not only was the teacher wise, so teachings, we find teachings in the Bible, not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. That's why we have the Bible. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. Pondered, searched out. There's effort that's gone into what's written in here. The teacher searched to find just the right words. And what he wrote was upright and true, as Philip said. The words of the wise are like goads. Anyone know what a goad is? No, me neither. We'll move on. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails. So maybe a goad, I think a goad is something sharp. But they're collected sayings. So what we have in here, we've talked about it already, it's a collection. These collected sayings like firmly embedded nails. That sounds like something solid that you can hang on to. I don't do climbing, but I think if James was here, he would explain that if you're climbing, you need some firmly embedded nails, don't you, to get up. Otherwise, you're in real trouble. That's what it's talking about. But then it's added, given by one shepherd. That's interesting, isn't it? A collection of sayings, like firmly embedded nails, given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. So warnings, we find warnings in the Bible. And then we have the verse that we've read a few times, of making many books, there is no end. And much study wearies the body. So it's interesting, isn't it? Just this last section, it's really interesting. And in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to begin looking at another another of these 66 books, one from the New Testament. In fact, it's a short letter that you might want to be reading over the next couple of weeks in preparation. It's a letter written by Paul to his friend Timothy. In fact, there are two letters in the New Testament from Paul to Timothy. We're going to be looking at the second one. We're going to work our way through it. If you want to turn to it now, it begins on page 1195, and it would be good to turn to it. I'll give you a moment. Page 1195. So, 2 Timothy. And if you've managed to find it, you can see the way that Paul begins this letter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. So the Bible contains promises, but there's a promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, and that's what Paul's writing about. And if you turn over the page, turn over to page 1196, and you should find chapter 3. And then if you look down to verses 14 and 15, this is what Paul writes. He's writing to Timothy. Timothy, his friend. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's why we have this. That's what's in the Bible. It's wisdom. Wisdom that has a purpose. And I was reading through this letter this morning, and I was struck by how many times Paul talks about truth. Coming back to what Philip said, truth, truth, truth. God's words. And the importance of what had been entrusted to Paul and then on to Timothy to be passed on to other people. And this verse in chapter 3 about continuing in what you've learned, if you were here last week, that should ring some bells. We were looking at Colossians last week, so just going to turn back to Colossians. You don't have to turn to it. But in chapter 2 of Colossians, we have this written. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. It's a really helpful instruction. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Where's that teaching come from? It comes from the Bible, and overflowing with thankfulness. How can we be rooted and built up? The scriptures can make us wise, wise for salvation through faith in Jesus, putting our trust in him, believing what Jesus says, taking him at his word. If we didn't have the Bible, we wouldn't have the teaching of Jesus. We wouldn't have all the things that Jesus said. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are full of Jesus' words. If we didn't have the Bible, we wouldn't have Jesus' teaching. We wouldn't have his words. There was a point where Jesus' disciples, lots of people following Jesus, and he said something that they found quite difficult, and many of them left. And Jesus said to the 12, oh, see all these people leaving? Are you wanting to leave too? And they said, no, you have the words of eternal life. Jesus' teaching gives us access to the knowledge and the wisdom that can lead us to eternal life. And John says right at the beginning of his account of Jesus' life, right at the beginning of John's gospel, we know this, I think, most of us, many of us know that Jesus himself is called what? The Word. That's not a mistake. That's not a random thing. Jesus is the Word. And right at the end of John's Gospel, these are the last words that John John writes in his gospel, Jesus did many other things. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world will not have room for the books that would be written. Just think about that for a moment. If everything that Jesus did and has done and is doing was written down, the world wouldn't have room for all the books that would be written. That's how much Jesus has done and is doing for us. This book is hard to read, hard to understand, but essential for life. And we have this core value that what we live, what we share, what we learn, it's all kind of coming from here. So this week, let's just think, okay, if that's true, if I believe that, what difference will that make? If Jesus is the Word made flesh, the teacher, the greatest teacher, then he wants us to have access to the truth that's in this book. And there's lots of variety, 66 different books to get into. So pick any one, start anywhere, but read. Let's read and let's encourage each other because we've got a lot to learn still. And let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the inspiration and all the work that's gone into us having your words today, the Bible in all of its fullness, Lord. And we thank you for the understanding that you've already given us. And thank you for your Spirit in us teaching us what your word says and means, Lord. And I just pray that you would help us to go on, to continue to be rooted and built up, Lord, knowing that that as we read, Lord, you will help us, you will reveal things to us, you will strengthen us so that we can live lives that are in line with your purposes and your plans and what you want for us, Lord. And thank you that you've given us this gift of life and the promise of life that is in you. So, Lord, please help us to have this value, this core value, right at the center of all that we do. Lord, help us to learn from you. Thank you that we can learn from you. You've given us your Spirit to teach us. And we praise you. Amen.